You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
I want to check in with a pastor who's just for a thought, for a moment. All right. And it's Pastor Trent. And just sharing some things that I think may be beneficial, you know, during our Days of Hope coming up, starting next week on Tuesday, April 2nd. You'll hear a lot of people, part of the listening family, sharing. And since he's in South Carolina, I mean, unless he's on the app or something. But, you know, we listen to people and we can put ourselves in there. We've been there. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Can I tell you about one of the most frightening things that's ever happened to me in my life? And it may surprise you what it has to deal with. And I'm hesitant to even share it because, number one, you probably think I'm crazy, but I don't really care. The other one is that it shook me to my core then, and it still shakes me to my core now to talk about it. Well, welcome to day 18 of our 21 days together in the book of John, where we're in John chapter 18, and Jesus officially gets betrayed. We see him voluntarily make his way over to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas shows up along with a flock of people, hundreds of people, just to take one man away. But Jesus knew it was going to happen because it says so in verse 4. But then it goes on in verse 4 and it says that he went forward and said to this crowd, he said, "Whom are you seeking?" And they answered him and said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, it says, who betrayed him was right there with them. In verse 6, though, it says, "Now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground." Did you catch that? All the people that had come to take this one man away found themselves lying on the ground when this one man said three words. You know why that happened? It's because the very nature of God, the divine authority of God, came out right there in that moment and proves to all of us that Jesus was not a victim. Jesus chose to be right there, and Jesus was in full control of what was happening. And I know in that moment for me, if that had happened, and if I was one of the soldiers on the other side, I think I would have said, "See y'all later, I'm going home." Because, you know, we liken the presence of God with something that makes us feel good. And I'm not saying that it don't, because I've been in numerous church services where I leave encouraged and stirred up and fired up. But sometimes the presence of God can be so strong that it doesn't feel good.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
So, if you're not familiar with the Babylon Bee, then probably need to get familiar a little bit anyway. It's satire. And that has been much, much misunderstood over the last couple of years because, I mean, it's satirical. It's a take on the news, but it's satire. Okay. With that said, I will present with you at least a part of the latest skit that they did, which really is pretty cool, I thought. Couple of soldiers standing out in front of the tomb of Jesus. All right? Okay.
We sure lucked out with this laid-back, super chill assignment, bro.
You're telling me. We've just been so busy fighting all the barbarian tribes and putting down rebellions and whatnot. It's nice to finally get a nice, laid-back guard duty job.
Best part, who are we guarding?
Whom?
What?
Well, it's whom are we guarding? Because it's the objective case of the pronoun, not the subjective case. It's not important. We're not even speaking English. Technically, we're speaking Latin. What is important is that we are guarding a dead guy.
Of course, things were fixing to change, as they say. Thanks, Babylon Bee.
Helping you focus through the morning fog. The Cup of Joe Morning Show on the Sound of Life.
So I got some creative Easter basket ideas. I mean, let's face it. You got grandkids. We got little ones, mid-range, older ones. And then iMom, they got some really cool ideas. And so I posted them on the Sound of Life Facebook page. It's pretty cool. And because we got a letter and somebody said, "Mom loves Easter candy." My mom, she said, "My mom loves Easter candy. She makes a massive basket as a centerpiece for our Easter table. She makes each of the kids a basket. And then if that's not enough, she also puts candy in the plastic egg she hides." Don't get me wrong. I love all of it, except Peeps, of course. I'm sorry. But every year when I go to make my kids' baskets, I think, I need better Easter basket ideas. There's got to be something besides candy to put in here. Oh, there are. It's really cool. There's the artistic expression basket for the big kids. Really, it's colored pencil sketchbooks, markers, and they'll love it. Absolutely. Maybe a first faith basket, children's devotional, prayer journal, a cross necklace. There you go. Maybe a DIY, is that right? Gardening basket. You can put potted plants, gloves, seed packets, gardening book. Everything but the water, probably. I don't know. Maybe put that in there. Get ready for summer basket, too. An outdoor adventure basket with a frisbee. Stuff like that. Family game night basket with, you know, new board game, deck of cards. Something like that. Bookworms retreat DIY cooking basket. I know I'm going too fast for you. So I put it, I'm going to make you go on the Facebook page at Sound of Life. I know you like it. You know, when I was a kid, space was everything. The Space Explorer basket. That's really kind of cool. So they got all the different ages in there. Musical melodies. You may be like, well, are you kidding me? You know, well, put a set of headphones in there and a Walkman. No, we don't use Walkmans anymore. Anyway,
wow, that's awesome.
I posted it for you.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The Sound of Life.
This is the punch in the gut part of the morning show. I'll tell you that right now. And I always have a smile on my face, and it's quite a revelation, and it's something you will think about. If you know me, you know that I always talk about how we pretty up the cross, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's a pretty piece of jewelry that a lot of people have, and they're usually gorgeous. Why would you wear something that wasn't pretty, right? But someone said that if you lived at least the first 100 years after the era of crucifixion, you would never put something like that on your body. You would never even want to look at it. That's how hideous it was. And Ethan sent a note about being when he was in college a few years ago. A student group put on an event to educate students, you know, about those salacious things we can see and on the internet and the sex industry. And he was pacing through it thinking that he'd already seen all this before. You know, there's scientific facts. There's a room of testimonies people shared. And he moved to the last room. And on the wall was a painting, eye level. It was about 4 by 3 feet. And at first glance, it seemed like a typical crucifix painting. There hung Jesus, you know, on the cross, bleeding, ashamed. But he looked a little bit lower, and there was no loincloth to protect the Lord from disgrace. It was jarring to realize I was just looking at everything. There was nothing there, no clothing whatsoever. And in many ways, the fact that artists have typically covered Jesus up while hanging on the cross has done a disservice to our perception of his scope of atonement. I mean, we're used to seeing him battered and bloody, yes, but at least with a shred of decency left and a towel wrapped around his midsection, we try to, quote, clean up the crucifixion. He got curious about that himself. He said, you know, he checked all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all got it right here. They crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. Now, and historians have pointed out that a crucifixion was not only a torturous execution, but also a shameful humiliation. That's why victims would always be crucified naked. One last insult to injury. So why is it important that Jesus was crucified naked? The reason my school displayed the painting was to remind us, Ethan said, that while Jesus has absorbed all our sin and wrongdoing, he has also absorbed all of our shame. He was not covered up in order to maintain his dignity while dying on the tree. He was stripped and exposed so that even until the end, his atoning work would be seen as victorious, even over our sexuality and shame.
The Sound of Life.
So this is an actual email received to the professor. I don't know if this is male or female. So just, you know, if you want to say, oh, that has to be from a girl, maybe so. I don't know, but I'm not classifying it, okay? Hello, professor. I will be a little late to class today. I'm not sure how late, but I will be there. I have been trying to find a way out of my room for over 20 minutes. There is a very big bug between me and the door, and when I move, it moves. And when it flies, its wings make this awful whirring noise like some vassal of horror. This person's going to end up being a writer. They already are. We are locked in a stalemate, and I am at every disadvantage, and I wholeheartedly believe the bug is aware of this. Respectfully, I am in tears.
You make me laugh, you know that?
It's not fun.
Starting your day with a smile. It's the Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Daniel, are you thankful for anything?
You know, God is good. You know what I'm saying? You're asking like the right questions. And I really don't have the time, but I am going to tell you. So I haven't seen my children, my son and my daughter, in the past, I don't know, 2.5, maybe 3 years, roughly, in person, right?
Wow.
And it's something that I have been praying for. Well, this past couple of years, I've been learning that sometimes you just need to let go and let God, right? I've learned to be quiet. I've learned to just give it all, go all into God. And eventually, God will take care of it. At his own time, he will take care of you. Well, his own time came in yesterday. I was able to visit church with my children. I went to the church. And I was able to see them, and it was phenomenal. God did not only show up, but he showed out. It was an amazing experience. I was, needless to say, walking on cloud nine. Mm. I came back to my church to receive my sermon after I had seen the children, and all I was talking about was the fact that I was able to see my kids and just to see how good God is. And one of my favorite sayings is that when God's hands are in the mix, everything is perfect.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.